This is America Weekend. I'm Mike Bennett. We say good morning to Adam Richman, the host of Food Fighters on NBC.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well, I saw the promos for the show, and it looks like a lot of fun. You're doing it for the second year. Tell us about NBC's Food Fighters. How does this work?
Food Fighters, to me, is essentially like a celebration of the home cooks from all walks of life. Bring five of their best recipes, and they go up against five of the best chefs working today. They beat, they win more money. If they beat them all, they win $100,000. And the thing that is so cool for me, this season, we have among the competitors, the home cooks, a 12-year-old girl and a 14-year-old boy go up against five adult professional chefs. And we even have one 14-year-old professional that goes up against adult competitors. And it's remarkable to see the skill at like every age from like the most unlikely people.
Is it because of all the cooking shows on TV that these kids have grown up in that environment?
You know, in some cases, that's exactly the case. One girl in particular idolized Bobby Flay. And one of the chefs, so I don't know if you're aware structurally of the way the show works, it also kind of makes it cool and a little bit different than a typical culinary competition, at least to me personally, is that the home cook doesn't know what chef they're going up against next or their expertise. It's revealed right before their challenge. The chef doesn't know what they're going to make until right before their challenge. This 12-year-old girl had no idea who was going to come through these doors. Now, it wasn't Bobby Flay, but there was one of the chefs that she and her sister loved more than anything in the world came through, and I was like, oh my god, she might like just explode like in this splash of color. It was the coolest thing ever. But yeah, I think kids are smarter. They have access to cooking things on the internet and YouTube and cookbooks and cooking blogs and Instagram and getting recipes through social media. So I think there's just a greater degree of interest, and I think it's kind of a really beautiful thing to watch.
And of course, you are an author, America the Edible and Straight Up Tasty. Are you working on another book at this point?
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny, I was actually working on this book while I was sort of at the same time I decided to focus my energy instead of finishing Straight Up Tasty. But yeah, I do have something else that I've had in the works for some time about like sort of an exploration of a specific regional food throughout the U.S. But right now, I'm just really excited because I'm not a chef and I don't have a restaurant. And the fact that enough people believed in me and the recipes that I've sort of come up with through my life and through traveling around, I mean, that's, I guess, the reason why I love Food Fighters so much, because I am a home cook, and I learned from on-the-job training in the restaurants I worked in and stuff, and I'm super fortunate, and I hope that, as well as Straight Up Tasty does, people will enjoy the third book, too.
And do people realize that you have a master's in fine arts from Yale University School of Drama?
Isn't that weird? I guess they do now. It was a blessing, and to be the first member of my family to go to an Ivy League institution like that is a very big deal to me, especially as a kid from Brooklyn, and gave me a lot of really good professional rigor in terms of how to be a host and how to actually, it helps me edit episodes of shows, because I think like a four-act structure of like a dramatic arc, and it's really cool. I have to say, I just actually finished shooting a show that I'm producing in England about barbecue, of all things. And I have to say, like, having onstage comportment, especially in that a UK style of competition show, you need to be a stage actor. You need to have that kind of understanding, and I owe that all to you.
Adam Richman, host of NBC's Food Fighters. So now, you were born in Brooklyn, and you still live there. I'm a Brooklyn guy. I lived on Haring Street as a young baby in Sheepshead Bay. So you've never left the borough, or you're back there now, huh?
Yeah, back there now. I did leave. I here through high school, went to Midwood High School right next to Brooklyn College, and parents both, you know, Brooklyn High School educated as well. Mom went to Madison. Dad went to Erasmus Hall. Yeah, very proud of it. But then, yeah, left for college in Atlanta, Georgia, and sort of just went everywhere And before I made it back home, I had, at that point, lived in Ireland, and I had lived in Atlanta and North Carolina and all kinds of places before I ever, Louisville, Kentucky, before I ever made my way back to New York. So I guess I've always had a little bit of a peripatetic kind of lifestyle.
Yeah, but Brooklyn is home, and it's a great place. And boy, it's real chic to be from Brooklyn, so I guess we're in good company.
Isn't it weird? I mean, that's the thing. I, my friend and I used to explain to people, like, okay, there was the, you know, the Brooklyn of the Horn and Hardart Automat and the Dodgers, Ebbets Field Polo Ground when the parachute drop was built. And then there's the Brooklyn where, like, skinny jeans and cardigans and Interpol and whatever. And we're like, we were born in that period in between the two. I was born in 74, he was born in 75. And we're saying, like, you wouldn't think Williamsburg was chic in 1984, I guarantee you.
Adam Richman, thank you so much. We'll look forward to the Food Fighters.
Thank you very much.
With Adam Richman of Food Fighters, I'm Mike Bennett, and you're listening to America Weekend.
Oh, America Weekend.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This two-time All-Star spent his 10-year career with the Charlotte Hornets and the New York Knicks. His four-point play against the Indiana Pacers helped the Knicks win Game 3 of the 1999 Eastern Conference Finals.
Johnson fires, fouled, hit it! He hit it!
So where is Larry Johnson now? Larry left the hardwood in 2001 and went back to school, earning a Bachelor of Arts degree in 2007. He started the Larry Johnson Beverage Division the following year, which includes his own hydropower enhanced flavored waters. And in 2012, Larry returned to the Knicks, where he now wears a variety of hats.
So I'm spending part of my time community relations, part of my time with players development, and part of my time in front office.
Three big jobs for the man with the four-point play. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
The Movie Man. 6-second review starts now.
A stripper movie with a heart of gold for gratuitous man meat. Magic Mike Double XL is large and in charge. I'm in.
6-second reviews are brought to you by summer's most unapologetic new comedy, Trainwreck, starring Amy Schumer, in theaters July 17th.
Think green.
Harrison with you. The Key West Aquarium has morphed from a sea life tourist trap to a marine sanctuary thanks to the devastating effects of global warming. Angela is an aquarium staffer.
First of all, we have a lot of coral bleaching going on our coral reefs. Also, temperature of the water is actually rising year by year, which affects us when it comes to hurricanes and things like that. Our hurricanes are getting a little bit worse as time goes on because of the water temperatures.
What happens if a coral reef bleaches? Why is that bad?
Usually that signifies the dying of the coral. As they bleach out, the coral itself is dying, and it becomes a lot more hard for the reef to form and the animals are dying off, so there become less and less of them.
From the Greeniverse,
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.